Most Catholic bishops come to Rome at least once every 5 years for their ad limina visits to discuss challenges facing their churches with the Pope and top Vatican officials. Yet given the difficulties resulting from decades of Soviet oppression, bishops from Ukraine's Greek Catholic Church were unable to make such a visit for the past 70 years. But last week, Pope Benedict XVI welcomed the bishops on their first ad limina visit since 1937, rejoicing in their newfound freedom and the vibrancy of faith in their country.
Dopo che le vostre rispettive chiese hanno ritrovato la piena libertà, voi siete qui a rappresentare comunità rinate e vibranti nella fede che mai hanno smesso di sentirsi in piena comunione con il successore di Pietro.
The Greek Catholic Church is the second largest religious group in the Ukraine, counting over 3,300 communities, located largely in the western part of the country. In full communion with Rome, these communities follow the Byzantine rite and traditions, yet throughout their history have had difficult relations with their majority Orthodox neighbours. Under Stalin, at the end of the Second World War, the Greek Catholic Church was officially disbanded and forced to reunite with the Russian Orthodox Church. Despite harsh persecution, many underground believers kept their faith and traditions alive, and in 1989 the church was once again able to apply for official legalization.
L'odierno incontro, che avviene dopo oltre 70 anni, ci permette di elevare insieme a Dio un commosso ringraziamento.
After more than 70 years, Pope Benedict said this is a time to give thanks to God for the rebirth of the Church after such a dramatic period of persecution. But he also touched on the serious problems which persist in this new phase, such as the need for genuine vocations and the difficult dialogue with the country's Orthodox churches.
It's not a question of a dialogue as such. I think that for us, the main problem is to allow everyone to be himself.
Cardinal Lubomir Huzar is Archbishop of the capital, Kiev, and head of the Greek Catholic Church in Ukraine. At the start of these ad limina visits, he told me it was a very emotional moment for him and his brother bishops.
Well, it is, you know. We simply do not know what it is. We are learning. It's a very interesting experience, I must say. It has different aspects. It has a strong religious aspect. We look upon it as a pilgrimage to the graves of the apostles that we make together with the Holy Father. It's the first, so to say, impression. And then the meetings, maybe on a somewhat different level, with the Holy Father and with different offices, Roman offices here. This is another aspect of our being here, of our experiencing this visit to Rome on this special occasion of Ad Limina.
One of the issues that the Pope will address is the question of vocations. After a great flourishing of vocations following the end of the Soviet era of repression of the church, those vocations have dropped off quite dramatically, haven't they? Why do you think this is, and what are you trying to do about it?
Well, you see, I think one has to be very careful, because after the fall of the Soviet Union, a great many came to the seminaries and monasteries, but were they real vocations? I think there was maybe, in many cases, the reasons for coming were not very vocational. So we have learned in the meantime to exercise much more discernment of those so-called vocations, because there is not the least doubt that there are many who are really called and who came sincerely. There are others who came maybe because they thought this is going to be an easy life as a priest or as a religious. So I think numbers in this sense are a bit misleading. Do we have enough vocations today? No, I wouldn't say so. We do not experience such a number that we would consider sufficient, even though maybe in comparison with different other countries or parts of the world, the numbers seem to be very impressive. But when we consider our reality, we would gladly have more. And as a matter of fact, our Synod has declared this 2008 year a year of vocations. And of course, we take this in a very large sense, Christian vocation in general, which includes not only priestly vocations, religious vocations, but vocation in general. Everybody has some vocation from God that which he should take very seriously and fulfill very, I would say, religiously. But we certainly will put emphasis on religious and priestly vocations, encouraging people to see them, not in the light of human advantages, but as a real calling from God, as a gift from God. Because we do experience that in many cases, parents are at fault for not permitting children to come to the monasteries or to the seminaries. Maybe there is not sufficient preaching on vocations that has to be corrected, of course, that there would be much more encouragement in this direction. I think one has to be sort of careful of not overestimating, but neither of underestimating the situation.
Another of the great challenges facing your church is the difficult relationship with the Orthodox Church or churches in the Ukraine. Has there been any progress in this difficult relationship?
Well, you see, I think this is a very relative interpretation of the situation, because it is true, we do not have formal dialogue, theological dialogue. We have very little formal contact on the highest levels, but we do have very close collaboration in the field of education, in the field of social services. We do have a council of churches who are Catholics, Orthodox, Protestants, and even others, Muslims and Jews are represented, that works very well.
So a dialogue of life which works quite successfully.
Our ecumenism, I would say the successful ecumenism in Ukraine, is on the level, not on the highest level, but on the level of daily life. And we collaborate quite well. This does not deny difficulties that exist. Certain misunderstandings. We should not say that everything is very, very smooth and no problems at all. No, it is not so. But there is a peaceful coexistence in general where we try to settle these problems in a peaceful way and hope that we would have this, maybe even on this very formal level, also a smoother relationship.
What would you see as the most necessary things before this relationship can really improve?
Well, it's not a question of a dialogue as such. I think that for us, the main problem is to allow everyone to be himself. Very, very fundamental respect of the choice of one's religious adherence given to every person. Much of the difficulty that we have experienced so far has been in somebody to trying to outsmart others, of sort of make himself the center of everything. We have to arrive, first of all, at a very deep respect for the freedom of every person to choose his religious direction, and also for everybody to be able to testify to his conviction. And the way I see it, this is the fundamental thing for us, to begin with that. And then other things, then maybe dialogue and other things can follow. But what we experience today is already a certain amount, a good amount, of practical collaboration, which sort of eases the relationship, makes us realize that we are human persons as much as anybody else in this area.
So you're hoping that this practical collaboration may lead to greater steps, greater understanding?
This is certainly, a good circumstance in which to operate. However, I repeat, we have to allow everybody the possibility to be himself. And very sincerely, not simply external tolerance, a lack of a pact of non-aggression, but a real, deeply felt respect. And only, I think, when we have come to this, spiritual attitude, then from that point on, we can begin to really look to a deep communion between different believers of different directions today, wishing to ultimately arrive at the ideal which Christ has presented to us as his commandment.
And my thanks there to Cardinal Lubomir Huzar, Archbishop of the Ukrainian capital, Kiev, and head of the Greek Catholic Church in Ukraine.